Well, I'm so excited about this preach that I thought Friday was Saturday and I thought Saturday was Sunday. So there I am Friday and getting all prepared, I think I mentioned about tomorrow the preach, and Gloria looks at me and she says, "Oh, no, tomorrow's Saturday." I said, what? And I'm looking at this and I think it was because it's all Yvonne's fault, okay? Yeah, I'm going to blame Yvonne for this one. Because she picked that first worship song we did, "The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength," and guess what? That's the theme that I have for this morning that God has given to me for, I think, the past month. And how that joy is expressed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's the oil of joy. There's the oil of gladness. We know that the anointing of oil is on the high priest and the whole thing, and I was just in the whole mix of it. So I want, if we have time, we will do that song again at the end, just to seal it in our hearts. Now, as God usually does and how he's been doing with me, is that I have my preach already, and he shows me something else. Still the joy. But I think it is very appropriate that we get this as soon as I get my little password there. It's when Paul and Barnabas and says the disciples were with them. They were preaching and not only to the Jews, but showing the Gentiles that they were included as well. And while this incited, the Jews actually came and incited a little bit of a riot to these guys right out of town, right out of Antioch. And you would think that when they got kicked out, that they would be dragging their feet and going, "Oh my, my." No, it says here. I'm just going to read Acts 13, and starting at verse 50. About the Jews, however, incited the religious women of prominence and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. They shook the dust off their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Right? They have, it looks from this that they had a great reception for the gospel. But then it was rejected out of town. But because of this joy that is deep down inside, it's more than just a ha ha ha, a good joke. It's a joy that carries you through because it's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, the joy of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. So when looking at the list of the worship songs and saw that the joy of the Lord is our strength, I went to Nehemiah. You know that phrase, I haven't found it anywhere else. I think it's only in Nehemiah. Yet it's used so often. How just one word or phrase out of the Word of God can inspire so many people. This word is spirit written. The word is still full of the power of God, and all it takes is a phrase to stir that love, that joy, that peace inside of us. And that's the Holy Spirit's job in our hearts today. And I was so excited when I went into Nehemiah. I really like Ezra and Nehemiah because it's about the people coming back from exile because they rebelled against God. They even called it the rebellion. They had allowed all kinds of worship and idols and things that weren't of God in their lives. So in Nehemiah 8, The people are all called back. And Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, they're the ones who rebuilt the Jerusalem after they returned. And it says here in Nehemiah 8 and verse 5, Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands. Amen. Amen, they were saying. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so the Levites, and there's a list of names there, they instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Now, this may sound kind of strange to us. Why would they be weeping at just listening to the law? Because we always talk to it, well, the law, we're not. So what was this all about? I think what it was repentance. Came upon them because they realized that they had been in exile for so long and brought back into a restoration period, not only physically, but spiritually with God. And this was a time when the word spoke to them and they repented. And they repented. And that's why they're worshiping God. That's why they're saying, "Amen, amen." They realize that this is the only one and true God. It wasn't all those other idols. It wasn't a whole other nation that had taken them off. It was the real and true God. And this law was given for them, because God is very jealous of his people. And he wants them. So God has set them apart, right, from all other peoples, because he wanted these people to have relationship with him. Just like here we are here. He set us apart because he wants relationship with us. And this whole dream, if I can say that, of God, and he sees that all men, he wants all people to come to him and be his people, not just a certain a group of people. So in verse 10, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy." There we go. Enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God, to our Lord. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? Do not grieve. Let the oil of joy take over mourning. Right? Let the oil of gladness shake off sadness. It's a special anointing upon the church today, that we have this oil of us and with us. So the Levites in verse 11, they calmed all the people saying, "Be still, be still. For this is a holy day." Boy, how many times have we heard this just in this passage? This is a holy day. There's something stirring. The very presence of God is here with the people. And the people. So this is a holy day, says again. So then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy. Can I say that again? Celebrate with great joy. Even at this hour in the morning, we celebrate with great joy. Because we know that this joy that the Lord gives us is our strength. There's nothing else in this world that can give us joy like that the Holy Spirit can stir that up in us no matter what we're going through. And we can celebrate. Celebrate with great joy. Because why? And this is another good one. Excuse me just a minute. Great joy. Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. What happened? Ezra and all of the priests there, the Levites, they all explained it to them. And there, in this place, there was even a special anointing because revelation came. And the revelation was because that they now they understood the words that had been made known to them. And that's what happens in our lives. We can read lots of things in the Word of God. We can even try to just blast through it in whatever, a month or two or a year to read the Bible. But there's that one word that will jump out, or a section. And this is just one of those sections that's really has always jumped out ever since I've read it. I love this whole, I don't love that the Jewish people had to, but I love how God restored, how he forgave, and how he empowered them with an understanding that they probably didn't know beforehand. And so that they could carry on and be filled with the joy of the Lord. Another passage I'd like to explore is Isaiah 61. Because this is a chapter that our Savior used to explain why he was here on earth. So if you have your, thumb in 61 and your finger in Luke 4, I'm going to start in Luke 4. So we know that Jesus, he returned, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and knew the whole countryside. And he was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. So he literally took the scroll. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. It is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's as far as he went. A verse, and actually, now in Isaiah, in the scroll, they didn't have verses, but for our convenience, we have verses. So there's a verse and a half, the verse. But he says this, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And that's still happening today. I trust that everyone here knows the Lord. But Jesus is saying again, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So I go to Isaiah 61 because that's where it's from, and I read that portion, but there's more. There's more. There's kind of what the expression of it is in our lives and what it is for his people. Now we know Isaiah was, 400 years maybe before Christ came? And this word Jesus picked to say, this is who I am. This is why I've come. So to complete that verse, I'll start into Isaiah 61. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. On them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So we know that if we're planted as oaks of righteousness in Christ, and we're to display his splendor, then what has he done for us? Come to bring us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and in Psalm it says, the oil of gladness instead of sackcloth, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So this joy is for us. This deep happiness is for us. Because it goes deep. You know how kind of a joke and it kind of gets to you and go, hey, that was pretty good. This isn't what this is about. This is a joy because it says the Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, it builds the inner person. This joy comes from inside. That's that living water that Jesus speaks about. That's that joy that bubbles up and comes out. That's why when we worship, we're alive in Christ. And we can just give him all of the honor and all, because that joy is in us. And that joy takes us through a lot. And I know there's many testimonies in here on how that can take you through a pretty rough time. But you know it gets us through. Because he is faithful to keep pouring that oil of joy, that anointing oil upon us of the Holy Spirit, to fill us up to overflowing. That's why he came. He came so that he would have many sons and daughters. And it's just not a number count. It's that the joy of the Lord would be resonant in his church. And when we meet him in heaven, it's just going to be like going into, oh, we've been here. We've been in the throne room with Jesus. Hey, it's just carrying on this love and joy in front of the King of Kings, in front of the Lamb upon the throne. That joy that is set before us. No matter what we go through, it's set before us. So that we know, hey, we have joy here. The kingdom is up into the presence of God in the afterlife. Should be seamless. You know? Should be seamless. And I know we miss many who have gone on. We know. Well, we miss them. But we know that there's no better place. There's no better place than in. And there's no distraction. Here, there's lots of distraction, right? We will just be focused on the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We'll just be bowing down and we'll be singing, all hail, King Jesus. Praise God. Okay. We press onward. Psalm 45. Now, speaking of the anointing, the oil of joy, we know that the high priest, when Moses anointed Aaron, it was with a special oil. And there's reference to this oil in Psalm 45. And then it's used to explain Jesus in Hebrews. It's all connected. You know, sometimes you say, well, the old is gone, the new has come. That's right. But I tell you, that oil of joy has come all the way through the Old Testament and has landed before us in him. So in Psalm 45 and verse 6 says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. In Hebrews, in verse, the writer says there, says, but about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with this oil of joy. So there we have it. Jesus anointed with the oil of joy. And we know that in the fullness of Christ, this is available for us. It's available. We just need to ask Jesus, I need your joy. I need more of your joy so that I can just press on. In Psalm 45, it goes on in verse 8 of 45, it says, all your robes are fragrant. Fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From palaces adorned with ivory, the music of the strings makes you glad. It's a fragrance. It's a fragrance. The presence of God and the joy. There was a song way back in my day. Well, still is my day. What am I talking about? You know, this whole joy of the Lord. It's such a wonder. It's such a wonder. Thank you, Lord. So we know from Leviticus 8 that Moses was to prepare this anointing oil for the high priest. And the high priest was to be Aaron. It says in verse 12 that he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then he brought Aaron's sons forward and put tunics on them and tied sashes around them, fastened caps on them as the Lord commanded. So the first priesthood, which was going to be the Levites, Moses set them apart, set Aaron and his sons apart, and anointed them with this oil, that they would be consecrated or set apart totally for the work of God. Totally. Psalms, again, in 133, talks about this oil and refers to it as precious oil. It's not just oil. Precious oil. So it says in Psalm 133, starting off in verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That's a whole preach in itself. Verse 2, precious oil poured out on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Precious oil. Consecrated, pouring down. And I just envision this as the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Pouring down, anointing us for all the work that he has for us to do. Like we don't sit back and say, okay, God, you just do your work and I'm just going to say something for each one of us. He has a gifting. And he wants to anoint that gifting in you. And we just need to be open to it. And allow that precious oil of God to pour down over our lives, to consecrate us, to set us apart for that, for his glory. Not for our glory, for his. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. Now, in Exodus 29, they explain that a little more. It says, take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head. So we know that was poured over his head. And so Psalm 133 was referencing this. And in verse 9, I just highlighted that the priesthood is theirs by a lasting ordinance. So it just doesn't come and go. It's just like oil, right? The You wash your hands and it's gone. But with oil, it clings to you. Right? So what was this precious oil? So in Exodus 30, it's explained to us. In verse 22, it says, the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, and there's weights here, but it says it's liquid myrrh, and then you take fragrant cinnamon, you take fragrant calamus, and you take all according to the sanctuary shekel, whatever that was, and a hin, I don't know, pint maybe? I don't know how much. Maybe a barrel. I don't know how much oil went over his head. But of olive oil. So they're to make this great mix. And make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, and the work of a perfumer, specialist, an expert, was to put this together. And it will be a sacred anointing oil, then use it to anoint everything. It was the Ark of the Covenant, the tent meeting, the table, all of everything, as well as Aaron. And so in verse 30 it says, anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Well, we know in Peter that when he wrote royal priesthood, and Jesus has ordained us as that, has set us apart for that. And if I go back to that verse 30, says, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Here we are. Here we are, my friends. Here we are. That sacred anointing. The very Spirit doing this wonderful work in us and through us. Anointing us for special works for His glory. It's an amazing thing. And it came right out of the Old Testament. How can that be? Because God is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same. He doesn't change. He didn't change the venue. He saw this from the beginning. And He's just lined it all up so that we can also, just as when Ezra read the law, the people and understood. And here we are, generations from there, hearing the word of God and understanding the very joy of the Lord. Yes, we see from the old to the new, Old Testament to new, there's a transformation, right, of much of the physical. The sacred anointings, the oil, everything, it was all very physical. But now we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So all of that goes on inside of us, in God. What was outward has come inward. Jesus, our high priest. And we're in the kingdom, so we're a royal priesthood under the King. Praise God. I love Hebrews 12. I like the beginning because later on it goes into discipline, but, you know, we all need that as well. But I'm just going to do the first part of Hebrews because it talks about Jesus' joy and maybe helps to explain how deep this is. So Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He knew the joy set before Him. Because He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Him, right? He was walking in it. And He knew what He had to go through. For us. But He did it in obedience to God, in obedience to his Father, and press through. So we can also press through. Because if this power that raised Jesus from the grave lives in us, we can press through as well. We can press through, and he, us, what's is in him is also passed to his church. So we can press through and be joyful in every circumstance. There may be periods where it's dry or where it's sorrowful or, you know, but the Holy Spirit can come in, and we just need to ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, just come. I need your joy. I need that stirring in my inner, right down in here, and Lord, just let it come out. And worship him. And worship him in whatever tongue you have. Whatever tongue he has given you, if he's given you that tongue. Just worship him in it. It says it strengthens the inner person. Just praise him and lift him up. And lift him up. So I'm just going to finish with, I found A.W. Tozer. He's a well-known theologian and preacher and writer from the mid-century of last century. And just while I'm sharing this, I'm just going to ask Yvonne and the team if they wouldn't mind coming up. We want to do that again, that song. Let's do it, eh? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And let's just sing it out of our hearts. And A.W. Tozer, he just says in this, it says, we must admit that there was more of this holy oil of God on the head of Jesus than on your head or mine, or on the head of anyone else who has ever lived. But that is not to say that God will withhold his best for everyone. And I put an asterisk beside this one. But the Spirit of God can only anoint in proportion to the willingness he has, that he finds in our lives. In the case of Jesus, we're told that he had a special anointing because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That surely gives us a clue that what we need, what the kind of persons we need to be in order to receive the full anointing and blessing from this, you know. It's not, well, I'll give you this little bit, Lord, of me, or this little bit. He wants everything. He's an all-consuming God. That's what he says. An all-consuming fire. And he wants to put that fire inside of us so that we burn for Jesus. And we don't burn up. We're just a brilliant light for him and his love in this age and what we're going through. That joy. That joy is our strength. So go in joy. Let's sing. Let's celebrate. And just enjoy Jesus. Thank you.